Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Augmented World Expo 2026, and also talking to folks from different small businesses and independent developers. So today's conversation is with Celeste Lear, who is the winner of the XR Women's Trailblazer Award from last year, from 2025. And so wanted to catch up with Celeste just to get a sense of her journey into XR, everything from being a DJ within the context of all these different social VR platforms. She's also worked in virtual production, and she's also very concerned around the environment and trying to figure out how to achieve different sustainable development goals through XR. But she's also working with a visualization company that is working with aerospace and defense contractors to be able to do kind of non-headset based displays. And so we talk about that as well in the context of this conversation. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Celeste happened on Wednesday, June 17th, 2026 at the Augmented World Expo in Long Beach, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Okay, hi. So my name is Celeste Lear, and I'm the founder of a company called Boutique XR. And I've worked many different hats in the industry over the last 8 years, specifically as a immersive experience designer. I've done a bit of world building and worked with Unity world builders for various projects. I've also been a performer, and many of you know me as DJ Celeste, and I've been a part of the music in the metaverse space, performing on Tribe software and also using live broadcast software to perform shows on various platforms using spatial computing technology over the years, and been involved as a producer of virtual events and working with different teams across the board, Dreamland XR, the Burner Sphere crew, Big Rock Entertainment. And I've worked a bit in virtual production in Hollywood, including with the company AR Wall. And I've worked on a couple phenomenal productions, including a Disney Plus movie that was The Muppets Haunted Mansion. So I worked as a virtual production manager, and I've worked as a virtual production coordinator on a couple different projects as well over the years.
Awesome. Great. That's lots of stuff to kind of dig into these different epochs of things that you've got lots of different experience in XR and lots of different contextual domains. But maybe before we start to dive into each of those, maybe you could just give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into the space.
Absolutely. So my background was more music, and I have studied sound engineering. I have a degree in sound engineering, and I have studied music theory extensively. I worked in the music industry for many years as a music producer, a sound engineer. I got into DJing in 2009 and 10, and I'm a music fanatic, and I've always loved curating music. I was introduced to virtual reality in 2017 and 2018 when I was living in the Bay Area. I had a lot of friends that were using immersive tech and kind of working as, or they're futurists. And I was so blown away by the technology, and it just really felt like kind of next level tools for creativity. And I specifically tried a couple applications that you could create music in virtual spaces and also visual art, like Tilt Brush. And I ended up getting my, I'm a Mac person, but I got my gamer PC in 2019 and forced myself to learn a PC. I got an Oculus Rift S headset and really dove in 2019. And it was actually opportune time for the pandemic. So since I had my footing in spatial computing and VR and broadcast and had been learning to DJ using VR software and meeting some of the community across platforms, forms like Wave, and I was one of the Wave DJs, and also Altspace, and VR chat, and really true. I would say I'm a true metaverse explorer because I got into a lot of the different platforms, and I'm really appreciate the social side of VR and had the footing and then gone into the pandemic with the training and experience. I was able to produce events to help bring people together and immerse them in these incredible environments and help people to socialize during the very hard times during the pandemic when we were all socially isolated. And it felt like a really incredibly special experience to be a part of and to be able to harness that technology to help to bring people together.
Do you have any favorite memories or anecdotes for different venues you've played in over the years, the virtual venues of all these different iterations of where people are enjoying music in VR?
Oh, absolutely. Too many to name, to be honest. I try to explain to people that have never truly had a powerful VR experience just how poignant it can be and how meeting people in virtual spaces can be incredibly powerful. And I've made lasting bonds with members of the community that we now know each other in real life, and we've become very dear friends, and it's a pretty unique way to meet people. Some of the experiences, some of the most powerful, in my opinion, were the work that we have done with the United Nations on the Sustainable Development Goals. I've been a member of a group that was one of the official arts partners of the UN, and we've produced several high-tech multimedia installations in real life using video mapping technology and also augmented reality. But when the pandemic happened, all of our projects that we were incubating were halted. And so I suggested to our team that we move into VR and actually virtualize some of our experiences. So we redesigned our decks, and we had a meeting with the head of communications at the UN at the time. And we also told them that the technology that we're using for virtual events can be looked at as ways to reduce carbon emissions in the future, potentially through virtual gathering. They were very interested in the work that we were doing, the way that we were presenting it. And we did get their blessing to produce some of the world's first virtual events, including we were one of the official teams that were recreating simulations of the World Expo in Dubai in 2020. Since it was canceled, we were very honored to be able to work with their team, including the Al Wasl Dome. So the Al Wasl Dome at Dubai for the 2020 World Expo, we worked with their engineers. They gave us 3D models of the Al Wasl Dome that our team, including Kaz and Christy, who we love, they repurposed for VR, and we were able to host 2 24-hour events of these digital twin experiences to teach people about the UN's mission and to also to help people understand the Sustainable Development Goals. So it really was a mission to educate and inspire through spatial computing. And we also worked with the Microsoft Altspace platform at the time. We had support from some of their team members, which was really exciting because it was technically the most challenging project you could possibly imagine to pull off because we had physical staff that we turned to avatar. So we were working with avatar staffing, even things like linguists. We had to build a language booth into our VR 3D world to be able to accurately represent the 5 select UN languages. So we had very strict UN protocol that we had to adhere to be able to do these events. So we had a very strict onboarding. We had to write all the paperwork and train all the avatar staff. We also had to make sure that staff knew how to orient people when they were coming into our world so they know how to move around both in 2D on their Mac or PC and in their headsets. So it really felt like a revolutionary event. We had 5,000 people come over a 24-hour period with tiered staffing. And wow, it was just the most gargantuan, complex project you could possibly imagine to be a part of. We worked with Chris Cresitelli from Dreamland XR. He's the president of the Vegas chapter of the VRARA and a dear friend who I did meet in virtual reality also, the Big Rock Creative team and Millennium Art. That's one of the most exciting and groundbreaking. And I would say I'm so proud of the work that we did on that project.
Nice. And so let's talk a bit about the virtual production work that you've done. So how did you start getting into from event producing as well as doing some performance within the context of VR? How did the virtual production come about for you?
Absolutely. So I live in Los Angeles and I have family in the entertainment and filmmaking world. And since I had been working with spatial computing technology, VR, and I have a bit of a track record and a name, and so I got a recommendation to interview with AR Wall, who are one of the leading virtual production stage providers in Hollywood. And I got a role as a virtual production manager on my first was a Muppets movie. It was a Disney Plus special called The Muppets Haunted Mansion. And it was such a treat and so exciting to work with Muppets alumni, even some old school Jim Henson alumni. It was also one of the most challenging jobs I've ever had. The tech is incredibly challenging to wrangle and to get to sync together with Unreal Engine. Our engineer did a phenomenal job, but there's innately all kinds of issues that you come across with synced, gen-locked LED stages. But altogether, just an incredible project to be a part of. And my first role as a virtual production manager, I've also worked in coordination with a couple different other companies, including XRM in North Hollywood. And I've worked a bit in live broadcast, also using LED volume technology.
Yeah, maybe you could flesh out a little bit about what did it mean to do the virtual production in terms of, like, was it more along the lines of trying to figure out good shots or recreating things in Unreal Engine and actually shooting live to be able to have the things in the background? So yeah, just trying to get a sense of, like, what type of things were you doing in the actual virtual production and just some anecdotes for why it made sense to use those different types of technologies in virtual production.
Yes. Okay. So my role as a virtual production manager was I was the liaison between the Disney art department, the LED tech team, the AR Wall, and also the Unreal Engine artists. So that was my role, was making sure that all of these three were working together as closely as possible. And we would have daily meetings with the production team to go over what the director of photography needed and the director wanted. So we were going back and forth with our Unreal Engine artists to make sure that they were getting the instructions for any last minute changes. It was mostly, I would say, 90% Unreal Engine sets, so virtual 3D sets. And then the other 10% were physical sets that the team would bring in and set in front of the actors. So if anyone's familiar with virtual production, you have an LED volume that acts like a stage, and the actors stand in front of the screen, the computer screen in essence. The camera, the video camera, has a special device on it that is calibrated to the screens and the environments inside the screen. So as the camera moves in direction, the screen behind it gently moves with it. And so it makes the actors and the objects in front of the screen seem like they're actually immersed in real sets, like physical sets. It's a trick of the eye, but it's when it's done right, it's very effective. It's very efficient. And this is one of the reasons why Disney is utilizing this technology, because it saves a lot of money. And I will also add that it reduces a lot of emissions. It reduces a lot of carbon emissions. So I want my work to be aligned with anything that is helping to take, you know, the load off of our planet and our resources, and anything that can help to reduce emissions and maximize efficiency in some of our endeavors, I think is very, very important to be focusing on. And I've done quite a bit of research around this, and the virtual production is reducing carbon emissions in Hollywood by up to 50 to 60% by a typical production team by working in one location instead of flying from set to set and building sets and then dismantling them and things like that. So,
yeah, I have a follow-on question in terms of whether or not some of those shots were in the final movie. I'd seen that The Mandalorian was using a lot of that virtual production, and that I had heard through the grapevine that there was certain aspects of those shots that needed to be rotoscoped out and kind of finished with, like, actual rendered out yes. scenes, and that the volume is sort of giving you light and the lighting to give that sense of immersion. But just curious to hear, by the time that you were working on it, whether or not some of these shots ended up in the final film or they needed to be rotoscoped out and replaced with a higher fidelity version directly from the engine.
Many of our shots were final and were able to not have too much post-production added to them and went into the film. When the technology works it works very well and is very effective. With virtual production, you also have the ability to go directly to green screen. If something is not working, you just key it green and you continue on and then add it post, which is, with today's technology, it's not too hard to clean up. So yes, very effective. At, I'm not as much on the technical side of that. So I could not exactly explain the post process.
Nice. Before we get into what you're working on now, is there anything else that you have been working on that you want to talk about or discuss or explore?
Yes. One of my passion projects right now is called the Sustainable Impact Alliance XR. And we're currently working with a president of the United Nations Association, one of the Southern California chapters, on a new pilot initiative that is geared towards educating the public around their own data, particular to their own county, starting with the county of Orange in Southern California. And we're working with a couple of different climate scientists. We are working to gather data and create data visualizations that people can pop up using augmented reality. And we're also planning on having a VR platform with data visualizations around one's own county's data pertaining to the Sustainable Development Goal number 11, which is clean, more efficient cities. So working with organizations that are collecting data around air pollution is one of our first pilot initiatives, and helping people to understand their own local data through XR and through data visualizations, and working with artists to make it palatable and make it colorful and vibrant and fun, like something people want to open up and want to learn about their own county's climate action plans. And so this is a pilot project that we are working very hard on right now, and working also on fundraising and grant writing. So that's something I'm coming in as a creator, immersive experience designer, and I'm heading up all the XR development around this and working with different partners in this endeavor. So this is very exciting to be working on.
Nice. Do you have any prototypes of what the actual experience would look like in terms of how you're visualizing that data?
We have some visual mock-ups that we have been using, but right now it's more of a concept, and we have our pitches ready and we have our team behind us and we have most of our partners selected already. So we're pretty much ready to rumble. We're just waiting for the right moment to get our funding and move forward.
Nice. And last year you won the XR Women Trailblazer Award. So maybe just give a bit more context for what that was and what you were being honored with last year.
Well, of course, it was quite an honor. The XR Women Collective, I have been a member of since 2020, 2021. These women have become very dear friends of mine. It's a really supportive community. And as many of you know, we meet most Wednesdays to exchange information and be supportive of each other. We have a Slack channel. I was so honored to have this community recognize the very diligent work that I've done since 2019 on these various projects, and actually have eyes on it and backing, because it feels good to actually have the people in your industry start to understand what you're doing and all the strides that it takes to make it in this industry. Because we are still, it's still experimental in many respects. Society is still starting to understand how this technology is all working, how it's kind of integrating into modern day society. So it's exciting to be a part of that movement and to be utilizing this technology in really new and exciting ways. And yeah, just have that backing by the community feels amazing.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again. And hearing from all the stuff that you've been working on, it's been quite a journey into XR. So, and there's going to be the award ceremony that's coming up here just in like 20 minutes or so. So honoring the next batch of honorees. So, well, let's move on to what you're doing now in terms of what's happening with your current job and gig that you're working on, and what type of stuff you're doing there.
Yes. So recently I have been working with a company called Tiger Vision, and Tiger Vision is a hardware manufacturer that develops advanced polygonal LED systems that are concave and curved. So they're large scale screens, volumes that are geared towards training and simulation, situational awareness, command and control, and are very useful for the aerospace industry, defense industry, for digital twinning. And the company has been just fantastic to work with. I've just been with them a few months, and I'm coming in performing business development and strategic partnerships. I come from a family with a pretty big name in the aviation and aerospace industry, and so it's been fun to kind of get back in touch with that community and link up and explore a bit more how this technology can enhance like things like modernizations of air traffic control might be a good context, because digital twinning is coming into play in the air traffic control world. And so these monitors are more spatial, they're curved. So we have these 2D flat screens, but we can't get as much information, and spatial integrates more with everyday society and enterprises like aviation and aerospace and defense. We're going to need these screens to give us more information. And so this company has some patents on some pretty cool spherical tech, and it's been exciting to be a part of this team.
Are you any relation to John Lear?
Yes, John Lear was my uncle, for those of you that are into UFOlogy and aliens. My grandfather was Bill Lear of Learjet, so the inventor of Learjet, and also I would say a leader back in the day for training and simulation for pilots. I was part of different teams, a pretty big name, and over 120 patents, mostly in aviation and sound, which is pretty cool, and radio technology.
So, yeah, I just watched a recent documentary featuring Jeremy Corbell and hanging out a lot with John Lear. So, yeah.
Jeremy for many years through my uncle also. So it's a very fascinating family, a very unique and pretty out there family, but one that I'm very proud to come from. And I like to think that I am following in my grandfather's footsteps a bit with my obsession with technology and innovation. And yeah.
And so what else is Tiger Vision working on, or what's next for them?
We have one of our first deployments at the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston. And NASA is using this for training and simulation for the lunar rover missions right now. So that's very exciting. Then we have another deployment coming up with the Space Force Innovation Center in DC. And I'm working with a team in Australia for development in Down Under and with the University of Adelaide. And yeah, we're just exploring what's next. And we have another deployment with NASA coming up soon. I just heard the details on that today, so I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, so it's going to be more geared towards situational awareness, command and control, and training and simulation for aerospace defense, at space manufacturing, drones, also a good market, digital twinning, and so on.
Can you give me a sense of what it's like to go through one of these experiences with Tiger Vision, and like what it feels like, what you're seeing and what you're experiencing?
Well, for those of us that are spatial fans, you get a lot more information. And we say these are also kind of solutions for headset fatigue. So in any context where you might have to have people with VR environments or spatial environments, but they can't wear the headsets for too long, this is also a really good solution for that. These are very high resolution, high definition. So a good use is these are being used for also pilot training. So you can feel like you're right in that canyon that you're flying through. It's a very realistic solutions for video projection, which is in some ways maybe outdated technology. This is coming into play, and it seems to be very desirable in the aerospace industries and certain industries, yes.
Nice. And for you personally, what are you really excited about for your own personal projects or other things that you're working on?
Yes. So Tiger Vision has been a wonderful startup to be a part of. And I'm also very excited about the sustainable impact Alliance XR. That is my passion project. And this is feels like very beneficial work around sustainability and education around the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and helping people to understand their own data and help to democratize data a little bit, since there have recently been some attacks on science by politicians I will not name, and governments that are not acting very responsibly or in our best interest, in my opinion, might come down to individuals and independents to help to make sure that the public can get accurate, unbiased data to understand the world that we live in. And so that's a mission that's very important to me personally. And our team has been volunteering. So it's been truly a labor of love. And we're hoping to get this off the ground sooner than later, because it's a good one.
Nice. And finally, what do you think the ultimate potential of XR might be, and what it might be able to enable?
Well, let's see. I think one of my favorite quotes over the years that's really stuck with me is that the best technology is the kind that brings us together. And since I've been a pretty active part of like the social VR scene and different projects where the overarching goal is to bring people together and immerse them in inspirational situations and environments and art and music, I think that is some of my favorite aspects of what the industry can offer. I would also add that the possibilities for this technology to actually help to reduce carbon emissions is a reality. And this is something that everyone in the industry should be paying attention to and following and helping to educate the public around, that parts of this industry actually are helping our society to become a bit more efficient and effective and reduce things like resource extraction, and through the aspects like digital twinning and digital overlays through AR instead of like junk that we might get, like prints or plastic products. We can actually just pop things up on our phone and have them be a little less polluting. So yeah, aspects like that, I think everyone can be excited about and inspired by.
Awesome. Anything else left unsaid you'd like to say to the rest of the immersive community?
Just been an honor to meet so many of you and to get a peek into your own worlds and work. And I really admire everyone's tenacity in this industry, because it's oftentimes not easy, and it's not easy to even tell your friends and family what the hell that you're doing. It's pretty mind-boggling, and it could make people feel a little bit isolated in the work that they're doing. So just want to say that I appreciate everyone's unique contributions and work in this industry.
Awesome. Well, Celeste, thanks again for joining me on the podcast to recount a bit of your own journey and through the social VR, of the rise and fall of some of them, but also your own personal experiences and DJing and virtual production. And also, yeah, this Tiger Vision and all the stuff that you're working on now. So quite a trailblazing journey, as it were. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast.
Awesome. Appreciated. Cheers.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast and for keeping the faith for where this industry is going here in the future. I feel like this is a kind of weird time for everybody in the industry. And if you believe in where this technology may go and that it may be able to bring about positive social change and transformation in the world, then please do consider supporting me here at the Voices of VR podcast, trying to navigate these dimensions of transformation and positive change for where all this might be going. So if you enjoy the coverage that I'm doing here, then please do consider becoming a member at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.